beginning with verse 12. John chapter 15, verse 12. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sin, but now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning." No greater love. This is the account of Jesus as he goes to Calvary's cross. The cross is in plain view as we consider what is before us this morning. Jesus is now alone with his disciples, and he richly instructs and comforts his own. We are in the midst of a three-chapter teaching section that Jesus gives to his disciples as he is alone with them. Chapters 14, 15, and 16 lead up to the great high priestly prayer of John chapter 17, and then after that, they proceed from their seclusion over the ravine of the Kidron, and they go to the Garden of Gethsemane and all that would come immediately thereafter. So here we are, smack in the middle of this three-part teaching section which Jesus gives, John 14, 15, and 16. This is very significant because at the beginning and the end of these chapters, we have Jesus giving this word. See John chapter 14, verse 1. He says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." There is a direct word from Jesus, knowing that the disciples would certainly be troubled with all that would come. But Jesus, he begins his remarks at this time, and he says, do not let your heart become so unsettled by what is going to occur before your very eyes, what you are going to see, what you are going to hear, the gut-wrenching emotions that are going to churn you up inside. Do not let your heart be troubled. Now, go to the end of chapter 16. And having heard how Jesus begins, let us hear how he concludes. These serve as bookends for all that Jesus gives. Jesus now says in verse 32, Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in Jesus, in the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, in the one whom you have set your eyes and hopes upon, in me you may have peace, shalom, that wonderful, wonderful blessing that the Jews, ancient and modern, would greet one another with. These things I have put into your hands and into your hearts, into your head, hopefully to saturate every fiber of your being. These things I have spoken to you that you might have peace. Oh, the things that Jesus had spoken about, it would rattle anyone. And the things that the disciples would surely witness, how it would rattle and shake them. But Jesus, he wanted them not to be troubled, not to be shaken or disturbed. He wanted that rich, abiding peace to so come and to grip and hold them in the midst of the storm. Jesus says plainly, in the world, you have present scenario, present current situation. In the world, you have tribulation. But Jesus speaks to his disciples and he says, take courage, straighten up. Let this so bolster you. Take courage. I have overcome the world. So with these, as I say, the bookends, be not troubled. Let peace so come and permeate your very being. Jesus is in the midst of continually pouring into his disciples, and what rich comfort he speaks to them. How that he speaks of the oneness which he enjoyed with the Father. How that he speaks of the role of the Holy Spirit, that blessed Comforter who would come. How that Jesus would not leave us alone, but the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Paraclete, would come up alongside of us to so strengthen us and lead us forward. And Jesus would also speak of how that he is the vine. He is that source of all rich nutrient and supply that we so desperately need. And we must absolutely be connected to the vine. But now Jesus, in these verses which I have particularly read to you, chapter 15, verse 12 to 27, as I say, nestled pretty much in the very heart of this teaching, Jesus speaks of the depth of his love for his disciples, and of the urgency of how that they were also to follow in his footsteps. Jesus said to his disciples plainly, he who would come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Sometimes loving is a very part of that taking up the cross and following our Lord and Master, of placing our footsteps in the very steps in which he has taken. Well, Jesus, he is very careful to clarify exactly the love that he is speaking of. But first of all, hear it absolutely with utter clarity that Jesus puts this not in terms of suggestion or recommendation or any other kind of lighter term, some proposal to put before the committee. He says, with all of the authority of heaven, he says, this is my command. The commander, the Lord, the King of all creation has spoken. And he has said, this is my command, he says, verse 12. And should anybody have been clearing their ears or have stepped out of the room for the moment when he spoke that, he says it again in verse 17. This I command you that you love one another. But Jesus also gives that vital clarification of what kind of a love. Is it some kind of a loosey-goosey, weak love? This should rattle us ever so deeply. Jesus not only commands that we love one another, but the very character of the love is that the character be even as Christ has loved us, so we are to love one another. Jesus speaking to his disciples. Now you think of even the band of those 12 disciples. They were varied in the extreme. Last Sunday we talked about Philip, how that he had that Greek-sounding name, how that must have rubbed against some of them, having this guy, why don't you take a truly Jewish Hebrew name, Philip? Of course, there was Matthew. Oh, Matthew, your past tax collector. I'm sure that he and Judas would look across the table from time to time as they would despise one another, the one the zealot and the one formerly in the employ of Rome. Of course there was Peter, the big mouth, who was always blurting out things that probably embarrassed a number of the others. Oh, why can't that guy keep his mouth shut? Oh, how it would be a happy day if he just were to drop out. But Jesus, he says to them, he says, this I command you. I command you. Love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love them? Well, he had left the glories of heaven. He had left everything behind in order to come into this world because of that depth and the richness, the vastness of his love for these who he called his own. And it was not yet done. He would go to Calvary's cross. And this is the very love that he has in mind as he says to them, as I have loved you, so now you turn and look at one another and express that very same love. Let it rise up within you. Jesus, he plainly declares, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Jesus had laid down his life in the glories of heaven in order that he might come to this world. But even that was not enough. He did not come as an honored guest, but he came to be scorned and to be belittled. He came to die and to lay down not only the life which he enjoyed as being one worthy of all praise through all eternity. He did not simply lay aside those regal robes for a time, but he would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus continues to build, and he quickly adds, you are my friend. Now this was a little bit strange, I'm sure, to the disciples' ears, because there was undoubtedly this order of hierarchy. He, the master. We, the sort of the low life of various kinds. But Jesus, as he looks out at them, he says, you are my friends. But he also adds that if you do what I command, there needs to be, once again, coming back to the vine, there needs to be that vital connection. There needs to be that drawing on the strength that only the main branch can provide. Outside, we're dead. We wither. We shrivel up. And we are only good for the fire. No longer do I call you slaves, because the slave, he's sort of clued out. He doesn't know the bigger plan, but Jesus is saying, I want to draw you in. I want you to see the very master plan that God has for the salvation of this world. You did not choose me. Let's get this straight here. I chose you. And Jesus said, appointed you that you would go and bear fruit. Not that you would sit idly on a throne, as you might think would be just such a wonderful experience, but that you would go and that you would serve. But this very point, choosing. Who was it who loved first? It's not amazing that we love God, but the amazing part is that when we were wretched sinners, God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Jesus not only chose these men as he went around to the Sea of Galilee and as he went to Matthew's tax table, and as he gathered the others, and then as he goes up on the mountain and he calls the 12 to himself. But through eternity past, the plan of God was that these would come and rally around him. And not rally around him to be a strength, but that Jesus might be a strength and a blessing to them. The blessing all went in the direction of the disciples. It wasn't that they were there to stand with him. It was that Jesus would pour into them. And that as a result, they would bear fruit. Once again, being connected to the vine. Does any fruit come about when a branch is set aside and by itself? No. If a branch is to bear fruit, it must be a part of the vine, doing what it is intended to do, to receive strength from the main branch. Jesus says, I want this fruit to abide and remain. This I command you. This must be the character of who you are. Now, of course, that is rich and that is beautiful. But as disciples of the Master, we do not always meet simply and only in a circle such as this. We are out in the world, and we need to understand not only how we relate to one another and how that we glorify and please our Lord in relation to one another, but we must understand how that we also relate properly to the world, and how that we are not troubled by how we are treated, how the world responds to us, and that the world does not rob us of our peace. The disciples and the world. Jesus tells it plainly. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. This morning in our adult Sunday school class, we were studying through Mark chapters 12 and 13. And there, as you page along, you will see that there was numerous who came to Jesus and challenged his authority. And there were many who, although they did not yet rise up and strike him with their fists or grab stones, yet the fingers were twitching and they wanted to either get their hands around his neck, get their hands over his mouth to silence him, or do something. They despised him. They hated him. Jesus was rocking the boat and they would not have it. They weren't perfectly pleased with the Romans and all the power that the Romans exercised, but they sort of knew how to deal with them. They get around them. They knew how to deal with the other sects and cults that were round about. But this Jesus, he was a maverick. He was something that they didn't know what to do with. They were embarrassed by him. He was drawing great crowds after him. He was working wonders such as they had never seen, and it was undeniable that there was something going on. What was it? Well, they had come to the conclusion that it wasn't good news, and they wanted to silence him. They hated him. They despised him. Well, Jesus, he's now looking down the road, and he's seeing that this isn't going to come to a climactic end, but that the very works that he had effected and the witness of truth that he had been in the world was going to continue, and he knew that even as he had been despised, even as he was heading straight for a hideous death, he knew that his disciples, as they continued to faithfully proclaim truth and bear witness to his gospel, that they would meet the exact same response, the exact same kind of dealing. Know that the world has hated me before it hated you. It's not personal. They have this grudge against truth. You are standing up for truth, and the world will not have it. This is the guerrilla domain of the devil, and it absolutely recoils. It absolutely becomes nauseous at the introduction of truth. Jesus says, look, if you were of the world would love its own. If you went to the parties, if you drank the booze, if you did what all the world wants you to do, if you cheated on your taxes and you slept with your neighbor's wife and you did this and that, the world would applaud you. The world would think you're great, because in so doing, you normalize what is wrong. Here is a very key point. Our world is bent on normalizing that which is evil. So here, if you were of the world and you went along with the world and you applauded what the world was doing and you didn't rock the boat, you didn't stand up for truth, the world would love you. They would think you were absolutely great. However, because you are not of the world, but you have been called out. Once again, the word which we get church from in the Greek is the word ekklesia, and it simply means called out ones. So the church is made up of called out ones. Those who have been called out of sin, called out of guilt, called out of shame, called out of the dealings of this world, called out to be servants of the Most High. And so Jesus, he says, you are not of this world. You have been called out of this world. And I have chosen you out of this world. And because of this very fact, the world hates you. The world loathes you. You know, every mean and nasty word that you can fill in the blank there, the world absolutely despises you. Now, we get surprised by this. You know, we endeavor to do good works. We try to be kind. We try to do our part, and even more, to go the second mile, as Jesus says. And we wonder, why is it that the world is so bent against the Church of Jesus Christ, the true Church of Jesus Christ, and believers who hold the Bible as the very Word of God? What is it that stirs this up? And here is the nub. Here is the very core of the whole being, is that they hated Jesus, and they will hate all who come thereafter him, because we are different, because we follow a different drumbeat, we follow a different master, we follow the crucified one. And what this and this world thinks that is utter weakness, and this world does not want to be weak. Jesus said, remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Don't be surprised by how they welcome you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. These things just come into alignment. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake. It's not about you. It's about who you follow. If you follow the devil, you will have the friends of the devil. If you follow Christ, you will have friends there, and you will have rich fellowship. But don't expect those who follow the devil to applaud and to congratulate and to encourage you in who you follow. Verse 22, if I had not come, if I had stayed in heaven's glory, if I had ignored the desperate need of this world, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned, or rather, they would not have the awareness. But you see, their sin so looks at them and stares them in the eye. There has come upon them this awareness that they are guilty, and it breaks them up inside. But instead of turning, instead of repenting, doing what so many did on the day of Pentecost when they cried out, we've come face to face with our sin, we realize that there's blood on our hands. Instead of taking the counsel of Peter, repent and be baptized, they fight and they kick. They scream and they want to do anything to silence the voices outside and the voice of conscience inside. Jesus says, if I had not come to them, they wouldn't have this awareness. But now it looks them in the face. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sin once again. It wouldn't be looking them blank in the face. But now they have seen what I did. They saw those miracles. Oh, they hated them. They wished that the lame man was still lame, and they wished that the leprous man was still a leper. They wished that the blind man was still blind and the deaf man still deaf. They wished that the demon-possessed man was still possessed of his legion of demons. That's how mean and cruel and spiteful they are. But those things were undeniable. I have done those things as a witness of the power of God that has so come upon this world. Verse 25, they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. And Jesus then goes on and he says, but again, let not your heart be troubled. Let peace so strengthen you, because the Helper will come, the one who will take my words and make them real. He will testify along with the testimony that you bear. And great things for eternity will be the result. No greater love. Jesus speaks to his disciples, even with the sound of the cross being shaped somewhere there in Jerusalem, even with the rattle of the nails being piled up ready for the next execution of the next unfortunate, even with the whip in its place, even with the thorns fully grown, even with everything in place, Jesus speaks to his disciples of love. Love that he had shown, that he had given them as an example. Real, deep, rich, abiding love. And now he says, love one another in this way, because in the world you will not receive any consideration. But don't let that rock you. Just keep on loving. For the sake of Christ, for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of the gospel, keep on loving and encouraging and building one another up. No greater love. Lord, we come this morning and we consider the depth of the love which you have shown for each and every one of us, and we give you thanks. May there be that very love within us. In the world, we do have many trials and tribulations, but rather than being downcast, rather than being glum, oh, let our hearts take courage and let us move forward in being faithful witnesses of the crucified one, holding high the cross and taking great delight, even as the believers in the opening of Acts, considering themselves worthy to be shamed, to be scorned for the cross of Christ. So let it be of us also that we hold high the message and hold high the proclamation, holding high our glorious Lord and King. So let that be of us. Within the body, rich, deep, abiding love, and sending forth the message of love that all who would hear it and who are ready to respond would come and also taste and see that the Lord is good. Let that happen even now, Lord, that there would be men and women in the sound of my voice who would say, Lord, I would take of your love. I would take of your forgiveness. So come upon them in your power, Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit, that they would know forgiveness, rich, free, and pure. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.